first reading is from James chapter 1, verses 2 to 18. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away, even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of what we created. The second one is from James chapter 5, verses 7 to 10. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, or you will be condemned.
Thanks, Rachel. Let's pray together, friends. Dear God, thank you for the chance to come and meet together on this Sunday afternoon. And we pray that as we think about your word, we pray that your Holy Spirit will be at work in our hearts, changing us to live a life not just of theoretical faith, faith that finds expression in the way that we live. To Jesus' glory, amen. I'm going to pick up from the prayer that last week, we've been thinking about practical wisdom, that is how the Christian faith lives out in practice, we were learning from James 1 that faith is not just to have, but to be used. It's to be used as a blessing to you and to others. And so when you read the Bible, don't just be readers of the Bible, but be doers of to obey what God has to say. And each week this term we'll be looking at a different expression of how we can live out our Christian faith in really practical ways. And the activity, the game this afternoon was really helpful because it introduced immediately the theme that is, if you want to get buff, you need to do training. And if you want to be spiritually buff, if you want to be a person who will stay the course when it is hard, then you can be a person who needs to train yourself. The way to do that is through resistance training. The harder it is, the more effective it is. And the more you feel the burn, the more, after a recovery day, you will bulk up a treat. There are lots of trials that we face. And James 1, as we talk about perseverance, James 1 doesn't hide that. And I don't want to hide that from you. So we read here, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. First thing to observe here is you will face trials. It doesn't say if you face trials, but whenever you do. The implication is if you are a human being, that applies to all of us, you will face times when life is just crap. Life is just hard and you don't understand what's going on. And we need to acknowledge that, because if you've not faced that tough time yet, it is coming. And I do not want you to be caught off guard. I do not want you to be surprised. I want to be the one who alongside your friends opens the Bible with you and tells you to prepare for this time. There are, of course, different trials, different expressions of suffering and hardship. The James chapter 5 goes on to speak about Job, and we'll look at the prophets as well. But it's in those times when life is really hard, that will be the time when those nagging questions start to nag, because that's kind of what nagging questions do. You will begin to wonder, maybe not out loud to begin with, but at least in the quietness of your mind, you'll begin to wonder, what is God doing? If I was God, I would be playing this completely differently. So what is God's plan for me in the middle of this horrific situation? Or perhaps God, well, maybe he just doesn't care because I've been praying about this, and I've been praying about this, and I've been praying about this, and yet here I am, still stuck here in this really crummy situation. Or perhaps God is not even there at all. And these are the questions that you will begin to ask yourself, because the trials will come. But here we read from James that these trials, this resistance, actually provides us with an opportunity. But I don't want you to miss the fact that trials are real. What do they look like? Well, lots of things. Here's a list. Here's a random list. It's not exhaustive by any measure. Bullying. And yes, the fact that you're not at your sixth level does not make you immune from that. Loneliness. Perhaps that's harder because you come to a youth group where everyone seems to have lots of friends except you. Death. In your family, death in your school, sickness, little things, big things, unanswered prayer. Perhaps for that one person who you desperately want to become a Christian, you're thinking of your mum or your friend who's been praying this prayer for a long time and nothing. Friendships breaking down, mental health issues, eating disorder, and self-harm. I really wanted to talk about that one at some length, but I'm going to be a good boy and focus on one thing in each talk. But if you want to talk about that, I'd love to speak with you afterwards. Will it be awkward? Yeah, come check me down the front. We'll pray about it. It'll be fun. But today I want to focus on one particular area of difficulty, particularly for young people, because it's not often spoken about. I want to talk about the trial of dealing with your parents separating or going through a divorce. It is a reality. This is the statistic. This is from the... Where's this from? The Australian Statistic Government something or other. In Australia, approximately 30% of marriages end in divorce. That is a terrifyingly high statistic. Now, some of you quite rightly will observe, yes, but that number is lower amongst Christian couples. That is completely true. That statistic is lower amongst people who are practicing Christians. But the fact that number is lower doesn't mean that in our youth group, we will not face the issues of parents separating and divorcing. Secondly, I would love this youth group to be a place where people who have parents like mine who aren't Christians can come along. And so this is a very real situation that many of you will face and many of your friends will face. The question is, are we going to talk about it? Why is it that divorce is so difficult for us? Before you go to the next slide comes from a book written by The Children of Divorce by a kind of nerdy theological guy called Andrew Root. And he wrote the book because his parents divorced when he was an adult. And the expectation was that this wouldn't affect him. And there are lots of books about minimizing the effect of divorce on children. They are helpful books. But Andrew Root wanted to write a book to say, that wasn't my experience. Actually, it really hurt a lot. And I know this is going to be awkward writing a book that my parents will read saying, this was not good for me. But I think I need to write it. This is why divorce hurts so much. Let's read the quote. Children are the creation of the relational love of mother and father. Children, then, are a concrete sign of love, a sign that shows the power of love at such a level that the union of love can create another out of nothing. This is saying that the love in marriage is so strong that it actually creates another person to be loved. The love of man for his wife and the wife for the husband is so significant that their love overflows into the creation of and celebration of a whole other person to be welcomed into that family of love. This is beautiful. This is good news for our society. that marriages where people love one another sacrificially are great places. Places where children are loved and safe and welcome. This is good news, which is why, when it goes wrong, it is so painful. And we are not the product of two people. We are the product of a communion of two people. Which is why when that communion dissolves, it can't not force us to ask questions about who we are and our place in the world. This is why divorce is so painful. So speaking to a girl called, I'm going to go with Annie, Anne, age 9, this is what she says. If I had 3 wishes, the first would be my parents never got divorced. 2, my parents would get back together. And 3, that I'd get my own bedroom. Who has their own bedroom? Who doesn't? More power to you, buddy. I'm with you. Welcome to the North Shore. Tell me I'm wrong. I dare you. It's great to have your own bedroom, but that is 3rd on her list. She wants her parents to be together. I spoke to a couple of, when I say a couple, I mean 3. Okay, it's not technically a couple. I spoke to 3 leaders here from TC and Senior High whose parents are divorced. And they very courageously said, yeah, I'll tell you about what it was like for me. Now, again, their experiences are not everyone's experience, and their experiences are different and, of course, unique to them. But I want you to notice a couple of things. 1, divorce is a trial, not just for the parents, but for the child. But also, that whether it's the little things or the big things, these things are important to them, and I'd love for them to be able to talk to others about that. I'd love for you, if your parents are really struggling, might be able to talk to your friends about that, and I'd love for us to pray with you about that. This is what they said. This is a quote from Steph from TC. She said, I found it hard to talk about my parents' divorce with my friends because I didn't think they would be able to understand what I was going through, especially because a lot of them came from Christian families with parents who seemed to have no problems. Who can tell me what the key word is in there? Seemed. Your families have their baggage, so do mine. From her perspective, she saw these wonderful families, which is great, and she didn't feel like she could talk to other people about it. That's a tough burden for one person to carry. Let's go to the next one. This is from Jenny, who's here. Thank you. You're very brave and we love you. The juggling act between spending time with my mum, my dad, and my friends and making all of them feel valued and loved was tricky. I often resented my situation and the sometimes awkward situations I was placed in. It's tricky dealing with parents as it is, let alone parents who are dropping you off and packing bags and all that kind of stuff. That's not an easy place for a teenager to be. And next, this is from Simon. I wondered why I needed to get caught up in the crossfire of their conflict, feeling like it was partially my fault. The question is not, will we here at Christchurch Youth have young people whose parents are going through divorce? That's not a question. The only question is, will we talk about it and will we pray about it? And my prayer is that this will be a safe place for people to say, yes, this is my trial that I'm dealing with right now, but I want to come through on the other side with my faith intact and, in fact, with greater confidence that God is good. There is blessing in the battle. See, it's such a counterintuitive thing to say. If we go to the next slide, what is weird about this is that James says, consider it pure joy. Welcome these challenges, because these challenges, whilst painful, are actually good for us. Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. This is the idea of resistance training. Faith leads to perseverance. Perseverance leads to maturity. So that you might know that God has been faithful to you through that challenging time and he is still good on the other side. And that you might know from your experiences and the experience of others that God has not forgotten you. In Romans, it says something similar. We glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character hope. That's another way of saying when you feel the burn, that is you getting buff. There's an obvious question here, though, which is God giving us these really awful situations? Well, can we skip two slides? This one. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Does God give us crap gifts? No. Good gifts, like mums and dads and friends and all these things that are good for us. But the problem is, when we misuse them, bad things happen. It's like the, you know, the whole gym thing. If you join the gym, I joined a gym about 11 years ago. And when you join a gym, they give you this long disclaimer, right? Do you have any kind of medical conditions? Cuddling. Do you have like, they're really long, and then they will not let you do anything until they show you every machine, right, okay? And they just walk through the whole place. And then they kind of get this trainer to walk through with you and babysit you. And if they think that you've got issues because you are kind of well upholstered, they will make you sign extra disclaimer forms. What is their concern? What's their concern? That you will whisper awkwardly. Yes, that is their concern. What is their concern? That you'll get hurt. Someone in TC escalated this morning and went, that you'll die on the treadmill. Thanks for the vote of confidence. That you'll get hurt. And if you misuse the equipment, people do get hurt. And when we have these good gifts and when they get misused, we can be hurt, though God has given us good things. Let's go back to the previous slide. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Apart from that being a really horrifying thing to give birth to sin, that's really creepy. This shows a different path. So not faith leading to perseverance, leading to maturity, rather desire leading to sin and sin leading to death. This desire thing here, this is significant because desire stems from your good and godly wish to be happy. But the question is, will God provide for you? Will God care for you? Because in those moments you will think, God does not care about me, God has forgotten about me, and if I want to be happy, I need to do it myself. And so you will see, you will desire something. If I had a non-Christian girlfriend, then I would be happy. If I went out, instead of going to youth, if I went out and got drunk and forgot about all the problems in my life, then I would be happy. If I was a person who stopped loving others, because clearly loving each other, that ends badly, then I will be happy. So I'm all about career now, none of this fluffy friendship stuff. And so you stop believing that God cares for you and you start desiring something else, and that desire leads to sin, leads to death. God has given us so many good things and we contort them out of our own evil desires. I want you to follow good examples. I want you to follow the good examples of those who have run before and have been puffing away and struggling but have kept putting one foot in front of the other. I want to honour people like Jenny, people like Simon, people like Steph, who I'm sure wondered, God, what are you doing in this whole crappy situation? And they made the conscious decision, I'm going to keep going to youth, I'm going to keep praying. Even when I say to God, God, what are you doing? I've been praying this prayer a lot, please help me out here. But they continue to trust in God. I want to honour these people and say, follow their example. And that is exactly what James goes on to say when he says, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Well, what was the experience of the prophets? People like Job, we read in Hebrews, this was their wonderful experience. There were others, that is prophets, who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning, they were sawed in two. This is not a metaphor. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated, and wonderfully, the world was not worthy of them. These are people who trusted that God is good, even as they were being stoned to death. Why Let me give you three reasons why I want to encourage you to continue when life is hard, putting one foot in front of the other and following Jesus. One, as we've spoken about, you will get stronger. You will get easier. And each step that you take is one step closer to the finish line. So you'll get stronger, is the first one. We spoke about that at length. Second, though, I want you to know that there is a reward. Let's look at these verses here from James 1 and 5. Both chapters, both speak about reward. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. There is a reward coming for those who overcome, for those who stay the course, for those who follow the Lord Jesus until the last day or until he returns. What is the crown of life? I don't know. But there are places in Scripture that talks about Jesus honoring those who have loved God and loved their neighbor. I think the crown of life here is Jesus saying to you, you did good. I know it was hard. And I know that you prayed every day and said to me, you don't understand how hard it is. And he says, I knew. I know. And you did good. And my prayer is that all of us will be able to celebrate one another's trials, not only on the last day, but this day, to honor you and to give thanks for you. So you will get stronger. Secondly, there is a reward coming. Thirdly, remember this term, I do not want to give you more things to do without remembering the grace that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the third thing is, Jesus has gone before. For the joy set before him, he looked ahead. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is how Jesus can say, I know, because he has been there. So he has gone before. Anglicare will look after kind of charity stuff. The Anglican Church is great. They also helpfully do this really nerdy statistical analysis stuff to help us to understand what's going on in our churches. They recently did some research into the life of the churches, and they discovered this. In Anglican youth groups, at churches like this one, all over our city, we have a problem. I want you to look at the person to your left and the person to your right, and I want you to fix their names in your mind. Got it? Statistically, tragically, by the time you guys are young adults, if this is a normal youth group, I think it is, one out of the three of you will have given up on Jesus. One out of three. Firstly, let me say, we are committed to that number being. And the question that you're expecting me to ask you now is this. Are you going to still be here when you are a young adult? That's not the question I'm asking. The question I'm asking is this. Will you take responsibility for the person on your left and on your right? Will you pray for them, drag them over the line? By the way, that's kind of a metaphor, because you could be sitting next to someone in a different year group that's really tense, going to go to their house and Sunday and bring them along. That could be a bit awkward. But metaphorically, the people to your left and the right, and your right, the people in your Bible study, in your year group, in your school, or not in your school, will you take responsibility to pray for them, especially when it's hard, to encourage them to come along to youth group because they've been away for 2 weeks, to know what's going on in their life so you can say, I'm really glad you've got that audition thing, that kind of performance thing on a Friday night, but it's finished now, can you come back to youth group? To say, I love you, and this is awkward, but you need to come back to church because you're being a slacker. Will you take responsibility one for another so that all of us will be there at the last? This person here, let me tell you this person here first. This person here, apart from looking amazing in that rubber cap, is Florence Chadwick, and she is uber swimmer. In like around the 1950s, she swam the English Channel like all the time. And in 1952, in July, her plan was to become the first woman to swim from Catalina Island to the California coast, which is about 40 kilometers in open water. So she swam with a kind of support group who encouraged her, and also, I kid you not, carried shotguns to shoot sharks. As she swam, but the conditions were poor. It was really foggy, and so that was a discouragement to her. But she kept swimming, and she kept swimming, and she kept swimming until she could swim no more. And after 15 hours and 55 minutes, they fished her out of the water and into the boat and saw her. And they brought the boat into the shore, and it was at that point she discovered that she was only half a mile away from finishing. They asked her about it afterwards, and she said, "If I could have seen it, I would have finished." And this is the challenge for us, that we are so close to the finish line. The Lord Jesus will return, maybe today. That would be amazing. But we are so close, and it is so foolish to throw it away when our suffering, as real as it is, and I do not want to take away from that, as real as it is only for a moment. She swam again 2 months later, and she smashed it. She took 2 hours off the men's record. So more power to you, Florence. If I could have seen it, I would have finished. Divorce is painful and real, and each of you will have your own trials. But we're on about not abstract faith, but practical faith that will drag you across the line. Brothers and sisters, please drag me across the line as well. Why? Because the Lord is not forgotten. The Lord is at work. Remember this. You too. Be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. I kid you not, the Lord's coming is near.